How was a man with 10% of a brain able to function normally? What did 16th century Arctic explorers eat that made their skin fall off? Why did Columbus think the Earth had a nipple like a breast? Learn the history behind these stories and well over 100 more in my new book, Facts That Aren't True. Check out my other book too, link in the description.
I'm not really here to argue more of you can say, yes, he's imaginary. I feel like everybody is entitled to their opinion on that. It's just my personal beliefs and what I've experienced through the church and through Christ. It just proves to me that he is real. And kind of like I guess you said, I'm not agreeing with this statement, but you did say in your head your God is real. So I guess, you know, I guess that's the argument I will go for your sense of the perspective. You know what I mean?
So we agree then, don't we?
I won't necessarily say I agree because that and that's what I'm saying. We're like, it's more of you have your standpoint on it. And I have studied, I guess sounds weird to say, but I watched you in your debates with other people. I understand that you have a background in the church. So it's more of like, that's just what you've come to believe. And I don't really want to say it as in like, it's a subjective or an objective truth. I just believe that. In a sense to you, that's what you perceive from the Bible and that's what you've taken from the Bible. And I cannot really say, hey, you're wrong for not believing. And at the end of the day, I'm going to read it the way I've read it. I have people that agree with me. I have people that disagree with me. And I do my best to not force my religion on anybody because at the end of the day, I don't believe that's how Christianity should be spread. So, I don't really want to say I disagree with you, nor do I agree with you. I'm kind of just in that middle ground. You know what I mean?
Sure. So why do you believe in Jesus other than your personal experience? Is there like a rational reason or just because like it made you feel good?
Just overall of like as a person who I was and how I put in the works of the Bible and walking through different churches and kind of exploring. I was also a person that almost left the faith. I tried to become a Muslim. I tried all these other things. I was into the whole crystals. I was doing the whole meditation. I was the whole let me do shrooms. And just for me, realistically, when I came back to the Bible, because I grew up as a young child with it, being an adult now, being able to make my own decisions and have my own sense of rationality. It's just the Bible.
Right. Okay. So is there any evidence that your God exists though?
It depends on kind of how I always talk to most people. It depends on what you define as evidence. And then it depends on if you want to say if it's really the truth for you, because at the end of the day, I can say that archaeologically, people have discovered certain sightings and certain mosaics. And, you know, we talk about the manuscripts, but at the end of the day, you're going to give your opinion.
What's the archaeology that demonstrates that the Bible God's real?
Recently there was a discovery. I can't really give it to you off the top of my head, but just kind of looking it up through, it's been on YouTube and stuff like that, and just trying to make sure that I'm not the only person that's saying, hey, this one person said it, it's true.
The discovery of what?
They found a mosaic on the ground, underground, that basically claimed that Jesus Christ had the title of God.
We all know that people thought Jesus was God. How does that prove he's God?
And that's where it comes down to. It's more of your perception. What do you deem as valid evidence?
Okay, well, shit, then that means Serapis is a god too, because there's a lot of people that believe Serapis was a god, and we have their writings from the time period.
For sure.
Praise Serapis.
Yeah.
Right. So,
Nana, I have a slightly different question, but it's related. Okay. Is this important to you?
Could you be more specific what you're trying to?
I hear you saying like your beliefs helped you out in life, right. and it's true for you in that sense. Do you think it like is that important to you?
Like, is my belief important to me?
Yes.
Yes, my belief is important to me. Correct. Okay.
Is whether or not it's true important to you?
Yes, it has to be true because otherwise.
Okay, so here's where I think this kind of falls apart a little bit, or I just don't really get it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, because I think you've basically expressed that if anybody else believes in a religion that isn't yours or no religion at all, but it works for them in the same way that coming to Christianity worked for you,
okay,
then there's no problem with that. But but you can't both be correct. So this thing about it being true is important to you, I think, isn't really part of this. And that's what that's something that for the unbearable skeptics like Justin and I is kind of like, eh, what are you what are we doing here?
Okay. So
yeah, because like I've got a friend when I was in seminary who converted from Christianity to Islam because it helped him get rid of his alcoholism, and he felt like Allah actually answered his prayers and Yahweh didn't. So like I don't think these personal experiences are particularly convincing. I'd be more interested in some sort of evidence, like other than personal experience.
I would just like to kind of respond to that in the sense of I'm not saying necessarily that my God isn't true, because I mean, throughout the Bible, I mean, I don't want to preach because I know that that's kind of, you know, kind of pushing it. But just to really lean on the, it comes to say we speak about a civilization that never hears about Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord says he will judge you based upon what your moral standings are. So if somebody says
that's a really good point.
I'm sorry.
So this is a really good point. So you're saying that, like, if the Native Americans, you know, before Columbus landed, never heard of Jesus, would they go to heaven or hell upon death? You're assuming that they would just be judged based on whether or not they were evil people, right? If they're evil, then they'd end up in hell.
Well, according to what they believe is the law, I kind of had this conversation with a coworker yesterday. He kind of said, why do I choose to, you know, follow my certain set of laws that is given through the Bible? And I said, well, in the same sense, if you come to America, like you're saying, we bring these laws, right? According to the way, if we were to take remove God from America and we said, OK, we have to live by these laws. We know that if we live by these laws, judging based off of our own, I guess you can say, subjective morality, if you followed all these laws and you never broke it.
I'm just looking for like a yes or no. Like if the Native Americans, like if they're not complete a-holes and doing like wicked stuff, then they don't go to hell, right?
I mean, if that's according to their standards of morality and that's what God is judging them by, I don't believe they would go to hell. That's what I have a grasp on.
So then what do we need Jesus for?
I mean, Jesus is more of the sense of he is that you will no longer have to face the penalty regardless of what you once followed. So for me,
what's the penalty?
The penalty of sinning. So that's obviously a separation from the eternal God.
Wait.
Hell?
Yes. If you want to call it hell, yes.
Wait, it sounds like if you don't know the scriptures, then you can go to heaven as long as you're a good person. But if you know the scriptures, then it doesn't matter what you do. You just will go to heaven.
Well, okay. So that's where I've had this, I guess you can say, just like this little internal conflict with myself, where there's people that say what you kind of just said about the monks of, oh, as long as you believe in Jesus, you're good. You know, you're making it into heaven. Then there's also the people that say, hey, you can lose your salvation. And once you lose salvation, you are no longer allowed to achieve it. But then I have this mindset of it of it's not really more of the fact of, hey, you found Jesus, you're automatically saved. It's more of a, you have to continually practice the faith of what Jesus has taught and what he told you to
do. Like what the Catholics teach.
But yes, I don't really consider myself Catholic. But in a sense, yes, I guess that's why
Catholics believe in faith plus works. Like you can't just say you believe, because according to James, even the demons believe. Like just believing it isn't enough.
Correct. But I won't necessarily say your works is what gets you the. I don't want to say a complete no to that. Because it's more of a, as long as you're making an effort and you're trying your best to do a person, because according to God, it's in our nature to just be a natural.
So, so whether you believe or not, God is going to judge you based on whether or not you're like a good person.
Yes, he's still going to deem it as, you know, if you're still doing, if you're saying you believe in Jesus Christ and you're still a mass murderer, at the end of the day, you cannot, you know how God says you can't have two masters, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what that means. So that brings us back to the point that I made before. Jesus died for nothing.
Change your mindset. You seem like a very well-educated man, so I'm not going to sit here and downplay it or anything. It's just more of you are set in your ways, and if that's how you feel about Jesus Christ, necessarily his death was worthless. I think that it was very meaningful. It's just more of the fact of who deems that it's worthy, and that comes down to the whole free will argument. Do you believe?
Why did he need to die?
Why did he need to die for people that just ultimately they didn't have a way out? They didn't have an escape. They just kept living that sinful lifestyle.
So you're telling me that a person living a sinful lifestyle, if they said, actually, I repent of my lifestyle,
right,
God wouldn't forgive him?
God would forgive him, because true repentance means you no longer to have the desire to continue sinning.
So then what do you need Jesus for?
Jesus is that window. He's that door. He's the, you can repent. This is just how you do it. Without Jesus, I mean, what other figures do we have that kind of stand out and really give you the opportunity?
But you just said before Jesus, people were going to heaven. So what do we need Jesus for? What problem did Jesus solve?
I think I probably misspoke. I didn't really mean to say people are just going to heaven without Jesus. I just said that if on judgment day, that when that time comes, if you never heard of Jesus, you will be judged according to the lifestyle you lived. But yeah. I'm saying because we have...
Seems like Jesus is an unnecessary burden to getting to heaven.
Well, I mean, like I said, I kind of feel like that's a...
You're putting a hurdle in the track. All you really have to do is say, hey, run to this finish line. Then you put this hurdle of Jesus in there. And like now you got to run to the finish line and you got to jump over this hurdle.
Okay. I mean, in a sense, I guess I can agree with that. We can continue with that analogy. It's more of a like, would you rather run a 100-meter dash or would you rather run the 400-meter? At the end of the day, by you no longer having Jesus Christ, you are now taking on the 400-meter versus if you have Jesus Christ, your race becomes a little easier for you.
No, it's the opposite.
I think what he's saying is Jesus makes it easier, but Jesus isn't necessary.
I don't know if that's what I want to say. But
you're adding an.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly it.
You're adding an unnecessary step into the process, a step that most people aren't willing to accept because it doesn't actually make sense. So if you already could get to the finish line without Jesus, I fail to understand why you need Jesus, especially when Jesus just makes it harder to get there.
I mean, in a sense, I can see where you guys are coming from. I'm not going to sit here. I probably am just miswording myself, so I hope you can help me out there.
No, you're doing fine. We all misspeak when we're up here. Okay. I do it all the time. All
right. And it's more of like, because I get where you guys are coming from. I want to say it's like, okay, we're all track stars, right? We're all running a race. We all prepare for this race. Depending on who your coach is, depends on how good you do your race. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm kind of saying. Jesus Christ is my coach, and he's making the race a lot easier for me.
How?
What do you mean how?
How's he making it easier?
I mean just by setting his placement of, hey, he died for my sins. This race is going to be a lot easier for you.
How?
What do you mean how?
How does he make it easier?
Because you know now
if,
you know
if
that
he,
when you,
if he hadn't died,
okay,
how would your life be any different? Not your life after death, your life.
Okay, how would my life be any different if he didn't die?
Yeah, or just never existed.
I mean, for the sake of, I mean, where I've come from, like I said, it's that personal. I feel like I owe Jesus my life due to the things that he did. Because I mean, not many people are willing to just die for anybody and die for a cause of the sake of you don't want to believe in whatever he's preaching. And I understand that's can be used for any religion, which I'm not going to sit here and act like that's not a thing, but more of like he's made it easier for me to understand that in my life, that when I expressed it to other human beings and we went through other means to try to find that happiness that I've been chasing, I couldn't find it in somebody else. But that's why he gave me that peace saying, hey, it's going to be a tough race, but if you do the race with me, it'll be a lot easier for you, if that makes sense.
Could you not have the same thing with God? Why do you need the dead sky carcass for that?
I mean, it's more of a sense of like, look at what people did when they did just have God. I mean, I don't want to, like I said, I don't really, unless you're fine with me going into the Bible, but for the sake of like when the when Moses was freeing the Hebrews from Egypt, when they just had God and they just had Moses as the intermediate, as we were following another man, a lot of people weren't fine with that. And they still made problems, even though they were being promised a new land and given more freedom versus, hey, you kind of either go back to being a slave and kind of fighting for your life, or you can walk with God. But when that option was presented, it still was very hard for people to kind of comprehend that, hey, you just need God, but God.
But Jesus is God, right?
Jesus is God for sure, yes.
Okay, did people believe that Jesus was God when he was here?
Some people did, some people didn't.
Right, his own people rejected him, so he didn't get to the finish line. Like, people still didn't believe in this God.
Correct, and that's why, like, my original question before we got into this was going to kind of be of, because I want to kind of put this out there, more of a question where you don't have to give a definitive answer, but more of people for question is, if my God isn't real, so according to your statement, right, he's imaginary, what do I lose from believing in God versus if I take the chance on saying God is real, what do I gain from that? You know what I mean? So if Jesus is real, if Jesus says what he did was, hey, this is the absolute truth, do I lose more first taking the chance on saying, hey, he wasn't real, or do I gain a lot more by saying, hey, he possibly did do this? You know what I mean?
What if you're wrong and you end up in Muslim hell?
I mean, if and that's a chance I'm not willing to take, which is my point of saying, like, you know what I mean? That's why I'm asking that question in the sense of, if that's the case with Muslim people, they believe that Jewish and Gentiles, we will take their place and they can go to heaven. So it's kind of the same argument of, you're fine with that happening, but you're upset that one man came and died for your sins and is saying,
oh, I'm not upset at that. I just don't think it's true. So what if you're wrong and actually the Hindu religion is true, and okay, you get reincarnated as like a rat because you didn't believe in the Hindu gods?
Well, then I guess once again, I don't want to take that gamble. You know what I mean? I take the gamble that everybody will be able to sit at the round table and be able to have a good life. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying, is the gamble that you've made is on Christianity, right? It's not on God in general. It's on Christianity. And what you're saying that, listen, like, the gamble is worth it when you compare Christianity to atheism, but you're forgetting all the other religions. You could be gambling on the wrong religion and end up in the same boat that I'm in.
For sure, which is why, I mean, that's why we have the word faith. It's believing in something, even if you don't have all the necessary evidence. The same way some people, they have more faith in the government than they do in religion, which is something, if that's what you feel is, hey, that's what you're going to go with, at the end of the day, that's the gamble you're willing to take. But that's
I actually agree. I think I don't have a lot of faith in the government, but I've got more faith in the government than I do in a God, namely because I can see the people in the government. I can vote for them. I can touch them.
Right.
I can email them and send them nasty letters, but you can't do that with God. You can't see him. You can't touch him. He doesn't talk to you. He doesn't answer prayers. His book is hopelessly contradictory. Like, he seems to be a moral monster as well. Like, I don't know. Okay. Also, like, he created a planet that has natural disasters that kill 100,000 of its inhabitants every year, just kind of at random.
Right.
Seems like a weird thing to do.
Right. And I mean, in that same sense, I mean, we kind of also, if we were to get all biblical about it, it's more of, why was the earth created? The earth wasn't really meant for us at the end of the day, through my studies, at least. You can correct me if I'm wrong, if you believe that that's what happened, but I mean, he tells us that this is not where we are meant to be, but this is a place where he created it for the, I don't want to say demons, I don't know if everybody believes in that, but I mean, you know what I mean, from my perspective, so I'm not preaching as much, it's more of, this was made for what he deemed as, hey, this is imperfect, this is a placement for imperfect things, and at the end of the day, we happen to fall from, obviously, Adam and Eve. You go on the whole story, I'm not here to.
Right, but before Adam and Eve, there was no death, no natural disasters, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was a perfect creation.
And then after, exactly. After Adam and Eve, we had the natural disasters and whatnot. So, like, why did he create the natural disasters? What do they serve?
And that's one of those things where it's hard to really not try to put scripture out there, but it's one of those, like, I can't give you an answer for God. That's the most simplest term I can put it. You know, I can't lean on my own understanding. I could come up with 1,000 reasons on why it happens and why it doesn't happen, but I can't really give you a definitive answer that you're going to be happy with, because at the end of the day, it's just one of those things where, you know, you'll hear his voice and you'll know what the truth is. But if you deem my truth as a lie, what more can I do to convince you at the end of the day? You've already took the walk yourself, you know, and you found out that that really wasn't your path. How am I to really convince you guys that, hey, this is the path? You know what I mean? I get what you guys are asking, but I can't give you the answer. I'm not omnipotent. I'm not all knowing. I'm just like you guys.
Fair enough. Well, listen, Nana, thanks for coming up and talking to us and for being courteous. We're going to grab our next guest, but hopefully you have a good one.